This show furnished by Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn.
It's time for Gervy's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervy. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Carrie Kasem. Carrie brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervy and Carrie Kasem.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles. And everyone listening around the world on KABC.com. I am Alan Gervy, and I'm the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn. And today, as usual, I am here on this beautiful Labor Day weekend to be the managing partner of your life, Carrie Kasem. My wonderful and beautiful co-host is not here. She is not laboring on Labor Day weekend. She has been busy running around this country. She testified in New York at the United Nations on victims' rights last week. And then she went straight to Houston to help out relief efforts. So kudos to Carrie Kasem for taking care of the world. I'm still here in Culver City, California, trying to take over the world. And I'll tell you, last week we had a controversial show, but someone who really is a champion for laborers, Dove Charney, the ousted founder of American Apparel, was on our show. And it was really quite interesting to hear Dove's story. We heard all about it afterward. If you haven't heard that show, you can go to our Facebook page, Gervy's Law Facebook page, and check out the podcast, because you will hear about Dove and how he was ousted under a lot of allegations, mostly having to do with sexual harassment. And he showed us that they weren't ever, or at least he told us that they weren't valid claims. And Keith Fink, his attorney, was with him on our show. And they talked about how Dove rose again as he is now he is now involved with a new apparel company called Los Angeles Apparel. So if you want to hear that show, go to the Facebook page, check out the podcast. We are going to talk today about laborers. And I know Dove Charney, who is a champion, as I said, of laborers paying more than minimum wage for the laborers at American Apparel. He did all of the manufacturing here in this country, snubbing his nose up at the foreign laborers and the clothing industry who goes to the Far East to get cheap slave labor. He said, no, we need to honor our laborers. We need to honor the folks here in this country. And that's what our two guests today do. They both protect victims' rights. Later on in the show, we are going to talk to Krista Ramey of the Ramey Law Firm. She is the chairperson of a huge, huge event that's going on right now in Las Vegas. It is the Consumer Attorneys Association of Los Angeles, CALA as they're known, or CALA, depending on where you come from. It's their convention. They are plaintiff attorneys. They are trial attorneys, and they are having a huge convention, the largest of its kind in Las Vegas. And Krista Ramey is the chairperson for that convention. She's also a fine attorney at the Ramey Law Firm, and they handle catastrophic personal injuries, automobile claims, wrongful death, premises liability, and medical malpractice. So we will talk to her about what's going on in plaintiff's world later on and how the convention is going. First, we're going to start with Sean Stuckey. Some of you may have heard of Sean Stuckey either because of his football exploits. He was a linebacker with the New England Patriots. some years ago. He had a rather short career, so he's a very interesting guy. He grew up in public housing, raised by a single mother who was addicted to crack cocaine and received welfare and food stamps, and he really raised himself up to an amazing accomplishment. Now an attorney and a very well-respected attorney in complex insurance litigation claims, sports litigation. He does workers' compensation, as I do, and he is a Minnesota licensed attorney, and he's practicing. He's got some big cases involving former professional athletes. Sean Stuckey, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Alan, thank you for having me.
It's great to have you. There is so much to talk to you about, but first of all, let's just talk about your background. How were you able, in really difficult circumstances, you went to college, obviously a real smart guy, then played, you had a tryout with the Minnesota Vikings, settled in with the Patriots. How were you able to overcome adversity to rise to a professional football player and then, of course, a well-respected lawyer?
Well, thanks for going over that, and I appreciate the opportunity to be on your show. You do it because you have to. I was in a bad situation. I grew up never meeting my father. My mom, like you said, was addicted to crack cocaine, and 6 out of 7 my aunts and uncles at one point were all addicted to crack cocaine. No one in my family had ever gone on to college, and I knew the only way that I was ever going to be in a position that I was going to affect change in this world, but more importantly at the time, just make my life better, was to go to college. I did that. I was lucky enough that I was offered a scholarship to Vanderbilt University, a few other places as well, but I went to Vanderbilt and played for the Minnesota Vikings, the New England Patriots, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, played overseas in Europe for the Amsterdam Admirals in NFL Europe, and played out in L.A. for the Los Angeles Extreme back in 2001.
Sean, there's an interesting story about how you actually got out of football, because you were going to talk a little bit about concussions and the dangers of professional football and hockey, because we're going to talk about the Mike Peluso case. But tell us a little bit about what was going on when you left the New England Patriots, because you were having, by all accounts, a pretty good career. First couple of years, you were in the playoffs, and you just left. What happened?
I did. It was my brother had been he had gotten into trouble, and he had been convicted and sent away to a prison. And I was well known back in Alabama. I was a very good high school player, and people also knew of me for the things that I did off the field as well. And the judge at the time said that he would not send my brother to prison if I would come back and adopt him. And it was a sacrifice at the time that I felt was worth making. So I left the New England Patriots and went to adopt him and take care of him.
How old were you at that time?
I was 23.
And wow.
I believe he was 14 at the time.
You know, it's so crazy because we hear a lot of the professional athletes and how they don't stay on the straight and narrow. There's all of these kind of, I don't know what you would say, but bad influences. And here you are, a 23-year-old kid, so to speak, and obviously your head is on straight, and you're in the bright lights, and you leave to sacrifice for your brother. Didn't you have any thoughts about why am I doing this?
You know, I didn't really at the time. It was, I guess I'm lucky, and he's lucky in that I didn't truly appreciate the magnitude of what it was that I was giving up. To he who much is given, much is required, and that was the only thing that I had in my mind at the time.
You know, you ended up representing a number of athletes in injury claims. You were named one of the best attorneys of America, National Black Lawyers 40 Under 40, Super Lawyers Rising Star in Minnesota. So at the time, did you ever think about how a career in football would have affected your health? Because, you know, you're representing a lot of people, and we'll talk about Mike Peluso, as I said, but, you know, he's pretty messed up now.
Yeah, that's right. When I played, to me, it was always a means to an end. I needed to be able to stay. I had to play well in high school in order to get a college scholarship. And when I played in college, I had to continue to play each year because, you know, at that time, college scholarships were not guaranteed and they could take it away at any time. So I continued to work hard and play hard so I could make it to the end of college. And then I was lucky enough after the end of college to be offered the opportunity to play in the NFL. So the entire time, I wasn't thinking, you know, how is this going to affect me later on in life? For me, it was you go as hard as you can, you hit as hard as you can, you push your body as hard as you can,
right,
just so you can get to the next level.
And I think that's probably a common thought or a common strategy, a common disposition of athletes today. They're doing what they can to reach their goals. You've now gotten involved in workers' compensation in California, yet you're a licensed attorney in Minnesota. How did that happen?
Yeah, well, when I finished playing professional football, I went through the workers' compensation process myself. Not too many people know about this, but professional athletes get the opportunity to get workers' compensation just like any other injured worker. Usually in most states, in just about every state, the statute of limitations is 1 year, so most athletes never realize they have the ability to do it. But in California, there is a unique exception, as I'm sure you're very well aware of, and the athlete who retired or finished playing several years ago has the opportunity to come back and file a claim. Well, I got that opportunity, and Ron Mix, who was a workers' compensation attorney at the time and the first Jewish player inducted into the NFL Hall of Fame.
Right. And by the way, Sean, Ron has been on our show. We had a show. We featured the Schwartz brothers, who were linemen, Jewish linemen, who wrote a book called Eat Your Schwartz. And Ron came on the show and talked about it. He was the elder statesman of the two young Schwartz, one of them still playing for the Kansas City Chiefs. We have to take a quick break, but we want to talk about workers' compensation, the claims that you are pursuing on behalf of athletes, and we're going to talk about that after the break. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Imagine your varicose and spider veins gone in 1 hour. Call West Medical.
I feel incredible because I called 1-800-WEST-MEDICAL.
As a small business owner, you make every dollar count. So what could you do with $10? Go to Vistaprint.com today and you'll get 500 high-quality custom business cards for only $9.99. That's less than 2 cents per card. And at Vistaprint, your satisfaction is absolutely guaranteed. So it's never been easier to turn 500 strangers into connections. Just visit Vistaprint.com and use promo code 4000 at checkout. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code 4000.
We interrupt your broadcast to bring you this, a phenomenon from Wendy's that can only be described as a giant junior bacon cheeseburger. A delicious anomaly doubling the size and taste of Wendy's iconic junior bacon cheeseburger. Double the bacon, double the cheese, and good heavens, double the fresh, never frozen beef. And what's this? A Wendy's giant junior bacon cheeseburger with nuggets, fries, and a drink for just $5. Run, run to your nearest Wendy's.
At participating Wendy's for a limited time, we'll include small fries and a drink. Not valid in Alaska and Hawaii. Fresh beef available in the contiguous U.S., Alaska, and Canada.
Right now at the Home Depot, buy Spectracide Bug Stop with AccuShot Sprayer and get a free refill. Great news for you, bad news for bugs. Bug Stop kills bugs on contact, indoors and out, and can even protect your home for up to a year. And a free refill is even more of a good thing. Unless you're a bug. Take your best shot at bugs. Get a free refill with purchase of Spectracide Bug Stop with AccuShot Sprayer. Now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through September 10th.
What's up, guys?
Watch Game of Thrones?
When I got a chance.
Yeah.
I don't watch anything live.
It's like you're going to watch Game of Thrones when it's aired first?
That is peak trying to get my silly daughter to bed hours.
6 o'clock?
No, like 7:30. I understand, but what am I going to do? Sit there while I have a wild daughter running around the house at 6 o'clock? Watch Game of Thrones?
You're going to work on your parenting.
What do you mean work on it? Okay, Bianca, go in the backyard while I sit down for an hour and a half and watch Game of Thrones.
Daddy!
No, I'm trying to be a good parent.
Dr. Drew.
Midday Live with Mike Catherwood. Weekdays noon to 3 on KABC.
Welcome back to Gervie's Law, turning Murphy's Law upside down on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yes, we're back. I'm Alan Gervie. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. I'm here solo. Carrie Kasem is not here today. She's enjoying this Labor Day weekend in Houston, actually, helping people, which is a great, great thing. We're talking to Sean Stuckey. He is an attorney, former NFL player with the New England Patriots. And by the way, the first segment we talked about why Sean left his football career. He said that he went to help his brother, who was in a little bit of a trouble, and he ended up adopting his brother. Sean was 23 at the time. We just got some calls, and people are asking, Sean, how did that turn out with your brother? How's he doing?
Well, it didn't turn out great. He was good. It helped him for a while. My mistake was in thinking that he was simply a product of his environment and that once I took him out of the environment, he would be okay. He was okay for a little bit, but then when I had to leave to go back to play in the NFL, he went downhill again, and he is now in prison.
Wow, I'm sorry to hear that. You know, I know you did everything you can, and sometimes difficult circumstances, and that's why it's so amazing, because Sean grew up in a difficult environment, and he's now an attorney representing injured players, former players, and you're doing it in California for All Sports Law, which is a law group, used to be the law firm of Ron Mix, who we talked about in the opening segment. How did you get involved with All Sports Law, and how does a Minnesota attorney practice workers' compensation law in California?
Well, as I was saying earlier, Ron was my workers' compensation attorney, and when I finished playing or finished my case, one of the things, I was actually in law school at the time, and I had just passed the bar in Minnesota when right before my case concluded. I went to trial here and finished up, and I had always wanted to come back out here to do what he did for me for other players. That's always been a big passion of mine. Unfortunately, at the time, or fortunately, I was working for a major complex litigation firm in Minneapolis and just had a wonderful job and couldn't give that up. I practiced complex litigation for about 7 years in Minnesota, defending retired NFL players in a 2011 NFL lockout against the NFL and then against the NFLPA and other high-profile sports cases like that. And then the opportunity came to come out here to California and represent players in workers' compensation claims. But to answer your question more specifically, when you are a lawyer, when you're licensed in federal court like I am, you are allowed to live in other places and still practice in the federal court in which you're licensed. But then also in workers' compensation, there is an additional way as a hearing representative that you can represent clients in California.
As a matter of fact, we have at our firm an attorney. I mean, he's not licensed, but he went to law school. He's worked 23 years at our firm and is excellent at what he does. And no one really knows the difference, although we do disclose that he's not licensed in the state of California. Now, when you are taking these cases, and I want to talk about the Mike Peluso case now, NHL player, I used to watch him, probably one of the toughest guys you'll ever come across. Back in the day when Mike played, they were called enforcers. They were sent out on the ice to fight against the other enforcers. And there, if you Google Mike Peluso, you can see some heavyweight bouts between him and some of the other players. But he really suffered as a result. That's what he was told to do. That's how he made his living. Tell us about what's going on with Mike Peluso now and the case that is currently pending in California.
Yeah, well, it's very interesting. I am a lawyer in the NHL concussions case, and that's when I first became aware of Mike Peluso and his phenomenal story. Well, I guess phenomenal, but then also heartbreaking story. A guy who led the league in penalty minutes, a guy who was just played his heart out for his team. he was involved in a lot of fights, 240 fights over the course of his career, and as a result of one of those fights, ended up sustaining a concussion when his head was slammed into the ice, and he subsequently had a seizure, his first grand mal seizure while he was working out on a treadmill for the New Jersey Devils. I can get to what prompted the federal case in just a little bit, but as a result of the multiple concussions that he had throughout his career, multiple head injuries that he had throughout his career, he now, at the young age of 51, has dementia. He has a chronic seizure disorder. He's had 9 grand mal seizures now, and he has severe cognitive and psychological problems as a result of the brain damage that he sustained while playing.
Sean, why did he file the claim in California, and why is the venue in San Francisco?
The venue is actually in Santa Ana. It was misreported. It's actually in Santa Ana, and the reason he filed in California goes to what I was saying earlier about in California, if a worker is injured, if a player, an athlete is injured in California or while playing under a California contract that he entered into in California, he is eligible to come to California to obtain benefits for his injuries.
Even though he didn't play for a California team, most of his play was with the Devils, also a couple of other teams.
That's exactly right. He did not play for a California team, but he had a California agent. If you have a California agent representing you during your career, then when that agent enters into your contract on your behalf, it is the same as if you were in California yourself and you entered into the contract. And that's what happened with Mike.
Right. And the law has changed recently, but he predates the change in law. And what about the insurance company? It's Chubb. Is that who's Chubb, the insurance for the Devils?
That's right. Chubb is representing the Devils and the St. Louis Blues.
And the St. Louis Blues. So, you know, an interesting issue, because this gets into the NFL cases too. What you've claimed and your team of lawyers on the Peluso case have said that the NHL, and more specifically Lou Lamoriello, the Devils, maybe Jacques Lemaire, the coach at the time, Gary Bettman, commissioner of the NHL, they concealed information, specifically in Mike's case, where it may not have been safe for him to continue playing. Is that right?
That's right. So Mike filed his workers' compensation case, and he came out and was examined by the doctors out here. And all the doctors said, the defendant's doctors looked at him and basically said nothing was wrong with him. His doctors looked at him and said that there were some serious things wrong with him. But the thing that neither one of the doctors, that none of the doctors had, was the link between his playing career and the injuries he sustained and the condition he's in now. And usually with players, that link is never, there's never anything demonstrative to show that direct link. You never have a smoking gun saying that the person's brain injuries or injuries while playing were going to lead later to brain damage. But that happened in Michael's case. So earlier I told you about the seizure that he had after sustaining the concussion in 1993 and having a seizure basically 2 months later. He was sent to a neurologist. Mike had no idea that he was sent to a neurologist. He just didn't remember it. And there are no documents in existence, at least at that point, showing that he was sent to a neurologist. However, there is a neurological report that was produced back, or that was created back in 1994, where the neurologist looked at Mike and he definitively diagnosed the grand mal seizure and related it to the concussion, and then said that if he continues to play hockey and sustain head injuries, that he would be at risk for a chronic seizure disorder.
How were you able to obtain that? Because, you know, from 94, how did you dig that up? It was obviously buried. Mike never saw it, but how did you get it?
That's right. Mike never saw it. It was never produced to Mike. It was produced to Lou Lamoriello and a few other people, like you said, but never to Mike. And when we filed his case, or when his case was filed in 2012 here in California, we sent a request for production of documents out to Chubb Insurance Company and the New Jersey Devils, and that document still was never produced to him. It wasn't produced to any of the doctors. It did not come to light until after I left the NHL case and came over here to California. I reached out to the lawyers who were specifically working Mike's case and were actually received possession of those documents, because they didn't give the documents to anyone except for that specific lawyer. And he gave that document to me, and then I saw in the document that the neurologist essentially predicted what it was that happened to Mike.
And I think that's
so that document was, it was something that was withheld from us, it was concealed from us, and it only came to light almost by accident, because it was the New Jersey Devils who, by chance, pursuant to a subpoena from, they produced it to the lawyers there.
Wow. You know, I'll tell you that you can understand why players, former players, are so angry in the NFL. A lot of the, you know, the movie Concussion came out, and there was a lot of anger about what the NFL may have known or did know. NHL, same thing. Mike Peluso has said that Gary Bettman can rot in hell because he put money over health issues. Is that something that you're dealing with when you talk to these athletes? And does Mike have a lot of anger?
He does. He does. And you can understand why. If a person is dealing with significant brain damage and the thought of knowing that it's just progressing and is getting worse and never knowing when that train is actually going to hit them, and then they, you know, it's one thing to know that, hey, we signed up for this as players, and, you know, if it happens later on in life, it just happens because we signed up for it. It's another thing to know that this could have all been prevented.
Right.
That the team had this knowledge in their hands 20 years ago, and they could have stopped you from being in the position, being in the mental state that you are in today.
Right.
And
now,
they did.
Sean, we only have a couple more minutes, and I want to touch on some of the litigation that's gone on with this case. Recently, there was a gag order that had been overturned by the California Workers' Compensation Appeals Board. It seems like this litigation has been very messy. You know, Mike Peluso was a brawler on the ice. It looks like you're brawling on this case. What happened with this gag order?
Well, the defendants have tried everything within their power to prevent the media from being involved in this case, because they understand that the more the public finds out about this, the more outrage there will be. So they have pushed the judge and the court very hard to prevent the media from continuing to be involved in it. And so at the last hearing, or a few hearings ago, the judge ordered that the media no longer be involved in the case. Well, there's some controversy about whether or not that happened, but as a result of the judge...
Well, I don't think it was I don't think it was controversial, Sean. Mike went on a Minnesota station and talked about the case, which was effectively breaching the gag order.
That's correct, and that's the reason I say it was controversial is because that was certainly our understanding of it. But then the judge and the defendants later said that that wasn't the intent. But when Mike breached the gag order by speaking to the media, and the judge ordered basically an intent, notice of intent to seek to impose sanctions
right.
for him doing so, I think that clarified any ambiguity as to what the judge was attempting to do in the case.
Right, and then it was appealed, and the Workers' Compensation Appeals Board said that the judge, the trial judge, had no authority to impose the gag order. Isn't that right?
That's correct.
So that's why you're talking to us now, because if that gag order was in effect, I'm not sure it would be in your best interest to be speaking to us, but we know that the WCAB trumps the trial judge, and in this case, the opinion was that that the judge can't stop you from bringing these issues out in the media, right?
That's correct, and it should be the case in all of these situations, particularly when a wrong has been committed as egregious as this, and it is the plaintiff or the applicant who wants to tell his story. He should be allowed to do so.
Yeah. You know, I'll tell you, I'm in the media all the time. I also practice workers' comp, and I don't use any muzzles, so obviously I believe in free speech and the ability a lawyer should be able to do what he or she thinks is in his client's best interest. We only have 30 seconds left. Tell us, Sean, what do you think is going to happen in the Peluso case moving forward?
Well, eventually the case is going to get to trial. When it gets to trial, Mike is going to have his day in court. He's going to be able to tell the world all of the the bad things that happened to him as a result of the concealment of these documents. And the one thing, you know, that Mike wants to everyone to know is that, look, he signed up to play hard. He signed up knowing that he could get concussions, knowing that he could even, you know, break his spine one day. Mike did not sign up knowing that he could have a brain disease as a result.
You know, we had Fred McNeil on the show. I don't know if you recall Fred McNeil played for the Vikings, linebacker.
I do, absolutely.
Yeah, so, and unfortunately he passed away. But, you know, it was really a hard thing, and we had his wife on. And so what you're saying, it's not an isolated case. There's so many former athletes in contact sports that have experienced it. We wish you all the best as you continue representing Mike and other professional players in this controversial area having to deal with concussions and injuries, brain injuries. And we'll look forward to hearing as we move forward how this case progresses. Thanks, Sean, for being on Gervie's Law.
Thank you, Alan. Bye-bye.
All right, take care. We'll be right back. We're going to talk to Krista Ramey about the Consumer Attorneys Association of Los Angeles convention going on right now after the break.
Radio 790, KABC News Update. I'm Steve Cumming. A mandatory evacuation order has been put in place for portions of Burbank, Glendale, and Los Angeles as the La Tuna fire threatens homes in the area. Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti explained that crews are working hard to contain the fire.
We have confined this fire. We just don't have 100% security that it can't jump. It'll depend on the weather today.
President Trump has been visiting Texas and Louisiana after Harvey flooded significant portions of both states. This morning, he briefly spoke at a church in Houston. During his visit to the church, the president and First Lady Melania Trump helped load supplies into victims' vehicles. KABC SoCal Weather Watch, partly cloudy with areas of smoke, highs from the 80s at the beaches to between 93 and 101 inland. Tonight, partly cloudy with lows in the mid to upper 70s. More news coming up and continuous coverage on KABC.com. I'm Steve Cumming, Talk Radio 790, KABC News.
I feel incredible because I called 1-800-WEST-MEDICAL.
I was in line at the grocery store when I heard a little boy ask his mom, "What's that on her leg?" I turned around to find the child pointing at my varicose veins. He didn't mean to hurt my feelings, but it did. That's the moment that I knew it was time to do something about it. I called West Medical and set up a consultation on my drive home. West Medical was able to completely remove my ugly varicose veins in 1 hour with no downtime. Now my legs look smooth and incredible. If you have varicose veins, you should give them a call. It's a quick and easy procedure, and the results really are amazing.
West Medical works with all PPO health insurance providers, and they also offer great financing options. Call West Medical for a private consultation. Call 1-800-WEST-MEDICAL. That's 1-800-937-8633. Or visit westmedical.com.
I feel incredible because I called 1-800-WEST-MEDICAL.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
Next week on McIntyre in the Morning, the world-famous Swedish chef joins us. That's McIntyre in the Morning. Get smart 5 to 10 right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
You're listening to Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yes! You are listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC. I'm Alan Gervey, and I'm here solo. Carrie Kasem is enjoying her Labor Day weekend, as I hope you all are. fascinating guest, Sean Stuckey, who was with us for the last couple of segments. And he's representing Mike Peluso, the NHL player, who is suing for injuries. And we will keep tabs on that case. And also, we often have on the show the concussion, the NFL concussion cases, and they go hand in hand. A lot of former athletes getting really beaten up, and it's really sad to see what has happened. They're not the only people that are victims of injuries. And now we're going to turn our attention to something that's going on this weekend, which is so important. It is the Consumers Attorneys Association of Los Angeles' annual Vegas convention, which takes place every year at this time. And we are honored to have on Gervie's Law, Krista Ramey, who is of the Ramey Law Firm. She is an attorney who is the convention chair for the CALA or CALA, however you want to pronounce it, convention in Vegas. Krista, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Thank you so much for having me.
It is so great to have you. And I must say, I have a disclosure here because I'm the education chair for the state of California for the California Applicant Attorneys Association, which is a CAW, as we call it. And you are doing the same job. I know how difficult it is. Tell us what's involved in putting together this massive, which I think it's the largest of its kind in the country, this convention in Vegas this weekend.
It is, you are correct, it is the largest local bar association convention, and we'll have about 3,000 attorneys and convention goers here over the course of this weekend, and it is a group effort task, if I can say that.
A Herculean task. I mean, it's a huge task to entertain. I mean, when we have six people at our house, it's a big task. You're having 3,000?
Yes, 3,000, and most of the hard work, the daily work that's involved is done by the CALA staff. And I said CALA, not Kayla, but it's a mixed bag on that
right.
one, by the way.
Exactly. And you know, before you talk about that, people want to know what the Consumers Attorneys Association is, because we get it all the time for CAW, which is mm-hmm. California Applicant. Those are plaintiffs in workers' compensation. Why do they call it consumers? They're trial attorneys, they're plaintiff attorneys, but why consumer attorneys?
One time it was called OATLA, LA Trial Lawyers Association. And it's a hard name to identify with because criminal lawyers are trial lawyers. Defense attorneys are trial lawyers. In some respects, applicants' attorneys such as yourself are trial lawyers when
right.
you go to the board and try your case to the board. So it was more about identifying with what we do rather than what we do and who we represent rather than just what we do. And our organization represents consumers. We represent people that, you know, have a car that with tires on it that, you know, the treads separate. We represent consumers that are shopping in grocery stores that, you know, have accidents or other individuals that are hurt in many other ways. And so it was more about a move to identify more about who we represent, not just what we do.
Right, because of course you're representing the plaintiffs, not the defense side, and the convention is all about plaintiffs. And by the way, I must have another disclosure. I am an attendee. I do attend the convention because it is a wonderful opportunity for me as a workers' compensation attorney to get some ideas and to learn not only about what I do, but what trial attorneys who are doing either personal injury, wrongful death, premises liability, medical malpractice, all of those things. The panels are really impressive, and I love getting the education. Tell us a little bit about the panels that we are enjoying this weekend, and what are your favorite ones?
Well, sure. I'm looking forward to the most is the Masters panel this afternoon on Saturday. I noticed your lead-in was you were talking about the NFL and concussion cases, and one of our Masters speakers is Jason Leskovich, who was the attorney that was the lead attorney on those cases.
Right.
And, you know, I'm just over the moon to hear him speak. I cannot wait. In addition to that, Mark Robinson, who just got a giant verdict against Johnson & Johnson for the talc cases.
Yeah.
And talc cases that cause cervical cancer.
And that's important. Just give a quick synopsis of the Johnson & Johnson cases.
Well, full disclosure for me, I don't practice in the field of products liability, but from what Mark has told me, and it's just appalling, I used to do asbestos work, and this kind of reminded me of that Johnson & Johnson and other talc manufacturers have known for some time about the carcinogenic effects of their product. Not only that, there's actually asbestos particles in some of their products, which just blew my mind. In Mark's case, that wasn't able to come out in front of the jury. But his client right now is not doing very well.
No.
Probably will not survive.
Yeah.
And Johnson & Johnson is vowing to appeal. What I thought was remarkable about her is that she, her last name is Echeverria. I cannot recall her first name. I apologize.
Eva Echeverria.
Thank you. Eva is not doing this for herself. She will never see a penny of any judgment that is received from Johnson & Johnson. She wants them accountable. And that is what the essence of our organization is about. And you know this as working in the applicant's field.
Right.
It's holding that person that did something wrong responsible for what they did wrong. You know, you buy it, you break it, you buy it. Right?
Yeah. You know, earlier in the show, when we were talking to Sean Stuckey, who represents Mike Peluso, former NHL player, he said of Gary Bettman, and that's Mike Peluso said, he can rot in hell. Gary Bettman is the commissioner of the NHL, and he said he can rot in hell. I think, you know, that's a little expressive, but I think we deal with that all the time. I know my clients are often so angry because their lives have just been ripped apart, and sometimes for reasons that should never have happened.
That's so true, and I see that every day. I have clients, I represent a lot of victims of medical malpractice, and with consumer attorneys, both the local organization and our state organization, as you know, it's about access to justice. It's about making sure those courtroom doors are open, and medical malpractice victims are probably the most aggrieved victims in the civil justice system.
Right.
Medical errors are the third leading cause of death in the United States right now. Only behind cancer and heart disease, preventable medical errors. And it's the only area of law in California where damages are capped. And it's the damages that are the human suffering, that pain and suffering, which does make people angry. You know, you did something wrong, and I have above the knee amputation because of it. You know, if you lose your leg in a car accident versus in an operating room, the end results are very different in the civil justice system, and it's really a shame.
And it's awful when you think of the legislative history, because you're talking about the MICRA law. It was signed by Jerry Brown, of all people, who has really screwed a lot of injured workers in his most recent legislation in 2012. Yes. And back in 1975, his first time around as governor, he screwed all these people, and it hasn't changed. How is it possible that with all inflation and all the hard work that you do to help people, that you're still at a ceiling of $250,000 for general damages in medical malpractice cases?
Now, you know, it's interesting, as I often tell people that in 1975 that I could buy a house in Beverly Hills for $250,000.
Yeah.
I couldn't buy, you know, one-bedroom condo in San Pedro for that now.
Right.
And from what I've been told from people that were there at that time was that they always thought that the law would be fixed and there would be a COLA put into place to adjust for inflation every year. And that change, that fix, never happened. But one of the things that happens when you try to change this is now you see states across the country trying to use California as a model.
Yeah.
But most of those states, their laws have been struck down as unconstitutional, but not in California. One of the most liberal, right-giving states in the country, which is so stunning to me, really.
It is. And you know, Krista, people don't understand it. Jerry Brown was elected as a Democrat. Why isn't he helping the good folks that are at this convention this weekend who are working their tails off to help people who are seriously injured? Why is he not helping trial attorneys, plaintiff attorneys? And is there anything that CALA can do about this in terms of lobbying and legislation to turn this around?
Well, currently, we don't have anything up for MICRA for that change. But we are fighting several fights that I think are important. And one of the biggest fights that we're fighting right now is, again, about access to justice. And it is it's Senate Bill 33. And it's a bill to stop banks like Wells Fargo, who committed identity theft to some of its poorest clients,
yeah,
and created accounts in their names. And because they already had accounts, they were forcing these people into arbitration. They were able to use the secrecy veil of arbitration to keep this private from people for many, many years while the fraud and the deceit and the theft continued. Until finally, some whistleblowers at the bank were able to stop this. What SB 33 will do is it's a very narrow bill that says if you opened up a fraudulent account in one of your customers' names, who you owe a fiduciary duty to, by the way, one of the highest duties under the law, then you cannot avail yourself to the arbitration agreement that they find for their lawfully opened accounts. That you have to go before a jury, and the Seventh Amendment right is restored for those people.
Isn't that giving up constitutional rights?
The Supreme Court said a long time ago, the U.S. Supreme Court, that arbitration clauses are constitutional. And there's something that people really need to be aware of, because you give away your rights all the time. What most people don't realize is that, first of all, you have a constitutional right to a trial by jury, as you know, under the Seventh Amendment. And oftentimes when you sign a receipt or you open up a credit card or you park your car in a parking structure,
yeah,
you are signing away your right to a trial by jury and agreeing to arbitration. And arbitration is just a terrible process. It's expensive. It's not expedient, and it benefits the repeat users of the system, such as Wells Fargo, who are hiring the same arbitrators over and over again. This also happens a lot in medical errors as well, with medical errors as well. Kaiser, for instance, has an arbitration clause. If you're a member of Kaiser and you have dependents, even your dependents are bound by the arbitration agreement you signed as their parents.
People don't get it. People don't understand that their rights are being violated. You know, you do what you have to, but there's never a backlash that needs to take place where these large corporations and companies are taking advantage of the consumer. Again, we're talking to Krista Ramey, who is the Consumer Attorneys Association of Los Angeles's education chair in charge of this huge convention in Vegas. You know, there's other things when you talk about access to the courts. How difficult is it for you to take your cases? And I know they're talking about that this weekend, all through the weekend, about getting access to the courts so justice can prevail.
Well, and it's actually right now, it's pretty bad. There's been a court budget crisis that has been going on for many years, really since the 2007 budget, when the economy really started going downhill. And in 2007, the general fund of the state's court budget was cut by more than $1.1 billion. Billion.
Wow.
And remember that the court is the third co-equal branch of government, right?
Yeah.
And the fallout is the poor, women, children, veterans. These are the people that have been the hardest hit. And I can explain why that is. And it's because of court closures. It's because the vast majority of the courts, the outlying courts in these more remote areas, are being shut down, and everything's being moved to more central locations, such as downtown Los Angeles or Long Beach. And what is happening is folks are experiencing longer wait times. So it doesn't just affect the civil justice system. It affects the criminal system for sure.
Of course.
But it also affects the family courts, the dependency courts, where kids' future are, you know, being held in balance. And it's taking longer to get these cases through the system. So it's really having a pretty remarkable effect. And it's in total 50 courthouses and 200 courtrooms have been closed around the state. And that's pretty stunning to me.
You know, and I think that people have to be aware of this. If you go to Krista Ramey's website, you can see there's a quote there that's important that she says, "I can never make a person truly whole once they have been injured by someone else. However, at the end of the day, I can make an insurance company, business, or individual accountable for hurting someone. When this happens, my clients' lives change for the better." And the point there is that you do what you can. However, under the circumstances, sometimes you're fighting a really difficult battle against a lot of money, the money interest from the insurance companies or big business or and sometimes the government who is influenced by these money interests. And that's got to be frustrating. Krista, we only have a couple minutes left. Tell us what we can expect that will come out of this convention, which is a wonderful convention for the Consumer Attorneys Association of Los Angeles. Moving forward after Labor Day, where do we go from here with these issues?
One of the things that I always say about this convention is whatever happens in Vegas in this instant does not stay in Vegas. We are here to empower people to go back and fight the good fight. What is remarkable and what some lawyers don't know is that we invite the defense bar and judges here as well, and sometimes we're highly critical of them in front of them.
Right.
And I'm good with that. I want them to know how powerful we are together, how powerful we are individually, and the things that we can accomplish. We are a very strong organization, unlike the defense bar, who they really are more about getting the business for themselves. So they would rather see their competitors fail. On the other hand, consumer attorneys, we're about building each other up and making sure we all succeed. This fight is the same fight. We do this because we believe in it, not because we're making a lot of money. Most of us aren't. We're doing it because it's the right thing to do.
That's right.
To help
and
people.
You have a good conscience at the end of the day. And just like what occurs at the African Attorneys Association conventions, the defendants, the judges, even adjusters, they come in mass to listen to see what is going on because they know that there's so many brilliant minds doing this great work for the individuals. And that's why, you know, it's interesting. You open up, you're not hiding anything. This convention isn't hiding anything. It's putting it out there with these wonderful speakers. Everyone's learning about these issues. Isn't that really, you know, I know as the education chair for the California Applicant Attorneys Association and Workers' Compensation, that makes me proud. I'm sure it's the same with you, Krista.
Absolutely. This is my last year as chair. I was vice chair for 2 years and chair last year. And this is my last year serving as chair, and it's kind of bittersweet. I feel like it's a great convention this year. I'm very excited about it. The theme is Rock of Ages, and our deputy director, Cindy Cantu, always comes up with really fun themes, so we all kind of get into the process and the party of it.
Yeah, exactly. There is a party. Thursday night was great, by the way. I really loved the rock music.
Yes,
looking
absolutely.
Forward to tonight, another big rock event. So it's a great
rock
theme.
Rock-themed party and intrigue.
Yeah.
And, you know, great nightclub in Vegas. That'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we only have about a minute left, so I want to just congratulate you, Krista, on an amazing convention. And I know your heart is in the right place, what you do for injured people all over the state, and it's through the Ramey Law Firm, who you actually practice with your husband. What's that like?
You know what? It's actually brilliant. I've worked with other places. I have actually worked with some firms that do applicants work in the past.
Yeah.
And that's another story that we can have off the air. But
yes, we can.
I now have a partner, a business partner, that has my back 100% of the time. Our interests are completely aligned. So we're a true family law firm. We're a small firm. There's four attorneys. And then, of course, the appropriate staff to back us up. And we're trial lawyers, so we will take your fight to 12 jurors and make it happen. And it's great. I know how smart and dedicated my husband is, and it's a good pairing.
Well, congratulations on that, because I know it's not easy. You've done a phenomenal job, and with this convention, you really worked very hard, and you can see the results. I want to thank you, Krista, for being with us here on Gervie's Law. I'm loving this convention, and for those folks that attorneys that haven't been to one of these conventions next year, make sure you check it out and look for the issues that Krista has talked about. They're very important issues. They affect every consumer. Thanks for being with us today, Krista.
Thank you so much.
And I want to thank everyone for listening today to Gervie's Law. I look forward, hopefully with Carrie next week, to talk to you again right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.